all I had available to me. And then I realized that Dragon Ball Z Kai was on Hulu.
Right.
And it was the good version of Kai that didn't have some other stuff cut out of it. Like curse words and some of the blood and stuff, I think.
I mean, your kid likes Dragon Ball, but he doesn't need to know who Garlic Jr. is, right?
He knows who Garlic Jr. is, Chase.
You don't need to know who Garlic Jr. is.
Nobody needs to know who Garlic Jr. is.
I'm telling you.
I know Carl's Jr. That's enough.
Is Dragon Ball. Like, the kid is upset. He's me.
You proud of yourself? You were proud? Proud of what you've done?
No, I'm not.
Well, then he should want to just inject the full 900 episodes into his veins.
Isn't Dragon Ball just about a dude that hates his dad anyway?
No, it's about a dude who's a bad dad. Yeah, but it's not that he hates his dad.
So are you just trying to say that you can't pay? At least I'm not this.
But not in like a malicious way.
He
shouldn't be a father.
Yeah, but the good news is,
kind of like me, there's another guy
who is a father who's a very good father. He's just not related by blood.
Yeah. Well, neither are we, but we show up every Wednesday night to tell you about video games. And God damn it, we do a good job. This is the Casual Hour. It is April 10th. You got 10 more days to pick up a weed habit, folks. So get to it. Chop, chop. And then after that, you can quit until next 420. We're going to talk about a lot of video games tonight, some new and some kind of new. We're going to talk a little bit about some rumors around EA. We've got some Helldivers 2 news for you, but we're going to spend a lot of time tapping into the Triple I Initiative, the new indie showcase that talked about some cool stuff today. So if you want to talk about cool stuff with cool people, go elsewhere.
Just destroying my keyboard.
This man hates keyboards.
You should do what I did and just build.
No, I'm not building an R2-D2 keyboard.
A C-3PO one?
It's Ghostbusters keyboard.
Look at how cool this is.
How many fucking keyboards do you have over there?
I don't know.
Yes, you do. Say it out loud, you slut.
I have my drop alt, and then I have my Keychron Q1, and then I have another one that I don't really use anymore.
Three.
It's not a custom one.
You really just should have said, Chase, how many magic decks do you have? And then I would have had to shut my mouth. And
but Chase,
then
I also own an embarrassing amount
of magic. And then you could have said, Bobby, how many do you have? And I said, reverse card, bitch. I ain't got a one.
Johnny's like, oh, I own so many magic decks. It's like six. And I'm over here going, no.
Excuse me.
No, it's sick, not six.
It's, I have.
How many? Just throw it out there. Throw out a ballpark.
Of how many you have?
No, how many you have?
This is gross.
15 to 20, I think,
we're,
at this point.
We're not a mature.
No, you don't.
Uh-huh. I have
bullshit.
I have 12 pre-cons. I have several that I've built myself. I have 4 starter decks.
All right. I forgot that you're a pre-con.
Listen, we already have a hard enough time getting people to watch us. This is not doing us any favors.
I mean, hey, I'm having a pretty hard time right now.
I have 2 long boxes full of one's lands and the other is other stuff.
All right. Yeah, I guess you do have some decks.
Well, I love where we're going with this conversation, but unfortunately we have to stop. But we do have some fun.
Another time, though. Another time. Absolutely.
Yeah, another time, but not right now. Weather, you know.
I can't. Yeah, someday Bobby's gonna be like, "Oh, guys, I'm too sick. I can't do the show."
I'm sick.
And Johnny and I are just gonna be like, "Cool, we're changing it to the Magic Hour, and we're talking about magic all the time."
The Magic Hour sounds like something that happens at a really bad Chuck E. Cheese, and so we're gonna stay away from that one. Johnny, I like golfing. Uh-huh. I think I like racing.
Yeah.
I don't know about turbo.
Do you like going fast?
I love turbo.
You gotta go fast.
It's the best Street Fighter 2.
Well, then let me tell you about turbo golf.
Please do.
Racing.
This one, I think we didn't cover this game, so I don't know how you know about it.
I didn't even know this game existed until yesterday.
Well, that doesn't surprise me.
I opened the Game Pass app on my PC. To install a different game. And I was like, wait a minute. Is this Rocket League Golf?
Yeah.
It is Rocket League Golf.
They just made Rocket League.
They did, but golf. Okay. And it's really fun.
Looks cool.
So you have
I mean, it just fucking is this Rocket League.
You have almost the same exact moveset that
this
you
says,
have.
This says Rocket League meets Mario Kart meets Fall Guys. Is that fair?
Let me ask you, is there such a thing as strokes in this game, or is it all just you're soccer balling the ball around to get it?
You are trying to get the soccer ball in the hole the fastest.
Yeah.
And that is how it scores you.
Okay. So it's kind of like the speed golf from Mario Golf.
Yeah.
But with cars.
But with cars and power-ups and skills, you have equipable skills, including passive skills. And you're unlocking new ones of those as you progress. I'm not going to brag, but I did, or I am going to brag. I won three matches in a row yesterday.
He's already taking back what he said. Can't trust this
and
man.
It, if you enjoy the feel of the cars in Rocket League, and you also are someone who derives great pleasure from lining up a shot, like not just in Rocket League, but just in a golf game. And you see it going in the hole before you even hit the ball. It has that same feeling. I had that so many times, and there were also it does a replay of the best shot in the game, and I saw some really really beautiful shots that people were making. And also,
oh yeah,
you can pick up power ups. You can shoot missiles at people. There's a power up that you can get that makes the ball all sticky and covered in slime, and it actually just attaches to your car. Whereas normally, you know, you're pushing it along, and there are little strips on the ground that make you go faster. And it's like some Mario Kart and Rocket League. Like it's a bunch of different stuff crammed together, and it's a lot of fun.
How is the putting, more or less? Because I feel like it sounds like really exciting to go full bore right into the ball and have it shoot out super far. But then I can imagine that when you get to the end and you have to be relatively precise in knocking the ball in, that it's probably, especially if you have a bunch of other cars with their other balls throwing in there, it just feels like chaos.
That's the interesting part, is okay. You see this all happening around you, but they're all ghosts.
Oh, okay.
So it's like,
you're not interacting with the other golf balls on the course. And if you try and drive into somebody, you just drive through them. Now, the power-ups that you pick up, like the missile that I mentioned, that will actually hit them.
Sure.
But you can't disturb the other player with just your vehicle alone.
Back to the original part, the putting, like the putting part.
Yes. So if you're in a spot where you're like, I overshot this, or I got past it. If you hold down the back button or the select, it'll spawn you behind the ball. Oh, now there's like a 1 to 2 second delay before they let you drive and get to it. But that way, if you drive off the course or whatever, you just hold that down and it'll get you back oriented right behind it. And nice. There's a beam, like a tractor beam, basically, like that goes up and from the hole. And if you just hit the ball into it, it catches it. And
That sounds cool. A lot better. Yeah. I'm also seeing just from these images that it's like these are not like golf courses.
No, they're like racetracks, right?
It's kind of like, but it's all downhill, or it might fork off and have different paths that you can take. But they're still rough. You know, there's the green, there's the fairway. So if you go into the rough, it does slow your vehicle down. But you know, you can jump, you can double jump, you can flip, you can glide, which is different than Rocket League. That's not a thing in Rocket League, but yeah, you can glide along. So if you're chasing your ball, you can jump and then hop over maybe a sand patch or something. So you don't lose that momentum and are able to keep up with the ball. And I played it for like an hour, and I would like to play this like on a Friday night or something. I think it'd be a lot of fun.
I would be down. It's on Game Pass. I'll check it out.
Yeah, like even like a Mario Kart style thing where we have some people from the Discord hop on with us.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
If you like Rocket League or Turbo Golf Racing, I would say don't play the Costa del Sol minigame in Final Fantasy VII Rebirth,
because
that's not fun.
It's so bad.
It's the best of those mini games, but it yes, still sucks.
It was not good.
Yeah, that Red 13 one is so bad.
Oh my God.
It's so bad.
Remember I had to do it here on the date? Fuck you, Square. All right, yep. So that is Turbo Golf Racing. It is out on Game Pass. It looks like it's on Steam as well. I think it might be on... is it on Switch and PlayStation? Do you know?
It's not on Switch. It is on... actually, maybe it is on Switch. No, it's not. Okay. It's on PS5, Xbox One, Xbox Series consoles, GeForce Now.
Nice.
So it is a lot of places.
Cool. All right, that was
Bobby, do you mind if I go next? Because I can go through mine really quick.
Oh, sure. That's fine.
Okay. I've been playing more Unicorn Overlord now that I'm out of the Final Fantasy VII Rebirth hole, and that game's still good. I think that game is really good. I have definitely gotten to a point though, even playing on an easier difficulty, where the game wants you to start really tinkering with your builds and having good builds, and some of that is okay, but there are other parts that are I think the thing that's most annoying to me right now is I can't just set something. I can't say like have this loadout for this is what I want these units to be, because when I switch out units or I switch out the equipment on them or I switch out their tactics, then I have to go, okay, well that was for a very specialized purpose, but now I need to go back to what I generally had, and I cannot remember what I generally had for this team. And so then it's like, oh God, where did everybody go? In what positions?
That's such a nice quality of life thing that you don't realize you miss until you don't have it.
Yeah, I think it would be nice. Like I've gotten to the point where I start like screenshotting my people's builds before I move them to something else, just so I can go, oh, that's where you went. You were in that.
I wouldn't think of that. I would just get so good on you, Chase.
Yeah, the story is still kind of whatever, but you get so many fucking characters in that game, and every new one seems cooler than the last, and you're like, oh, this girl's on like a wyvern now, I need to have her, and like, oh, this girl's like an elf with like an ice spear, she's sweet, I need to find places for her. And you're like, God, I've got too many goddamn characters and I have no idea where to put them all, because they're all really, really cool. I also met potential new best new character last night when I played. Her name's Amalia. She is a giant. She's Bobby, you remember in Symphonies of War, There is giant lady. Mm-hmm. There is also giant lady in this game.
You can't. It's a staple. It's a squad-based game staple now. You have to have a big lady.
She's so good. Her shield is so tall.
Yeah, they're the best.
She's so great.
I'm all for the tall giant lady.
Yes, tall lady.
A tall lady in a giant in a long.
Yeah,
isn't there? It's like a cake song we're talking about right now.
Cool characters, but not really interesting characters. They just look cool. I think Big Lady has a chance to do really well in that category. Anyway, Unicorn Overlord, I think it's fun.
Hell yeah!
I did have a friend of the show, Whipped, who's played Mario Kart with us. She's like, I see you're playing a game called Unicorn Overlord. Do I need to play that? And I was like, I've seen zero actual unicorns so far. And she went, oh, okay, never mind. I don't care. And I was like, yeah, that's it's probably not what you want, but it is a pretty damn cool vanillaware strategy game, and I'm having a great time with it.
That's awesome. It looked really cool. We'll have a quick look going up next week. So bookmark this. Go and like and subscribe our YouTube page. If you're watching on YouTube, do that now. And then you'll see all those alerts come through. Chase walked me through that game. That'll be going up Tuesday. Of next week. Cool. All right, buckle in, you two. I got some fucking cool shit to tell you about. Got a couple of new games that I think you need to have on your radar. So we're gonna start with Botany Manor, because I think this game is really fucking cool, and I think you both should check it out. It is on Game Pass. It came out on April 9th from Balloon Studios. There's a demo on Steam if you're on that platform, and I believe it's on PlayStation, Xbox, and Switch. So right out of the gate, if you are a fan of, let me check my notes here, a game called Viewfinder. Don't know if you've heard of it. There's another
I like that game.
Another game on here. It's called The Witness.
I also like that game, despite not liking parts of the people who make it. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then another little game we quick looked, you watched with me, called Strange Horticulture. And I think that's probably the game that has the most DNA with this one. Set in the late 1800s, you are Arabella. You're coming back to your English side home that has a bunch of doors locked in it, that has propagation stations where you will have to basically grow plants from these traveled destinations that you went to. There's gimmicks with all these, though, and puzzles that you have to go and find all the clues to keep in your diary. And once you have enough, you should know how to actually grow that seed. So here's an example, and there's some imagery in the Steam video for this, so I don't feel like I'm spoiling too much, but there's a plant that will only bloom in a lightning storm, and you're inside your house and the weather is beautiful, but you also come across a section with an old camera and flash, and so you have to figure out settings to mimic these things, and then that's the puzzle. So each portion of a seed is the puzzle that unlocks more of the house, and you grow these. So it could be temperature, climate, and you have to research and like look through postcards and old photographs and things like that to kind of piece together how it all played out. It seems really fucking good, and I'm having just a great time with it. It looks gorgeous. It feels very much like walking around in Viewfinder, and then all the journal and kind of tackiness of piecing together things from Strange Horticulture is here. I call The Witness out because there are puzzles that you're putting together. So it's very much like visually kind of like The Witness and Viewfinder mixed up, but just like from a puzzling standpoint. I think you can play it on the Switch without problem. I'm trying to get Sarah to pick it up because I think she'd really like it. It's really fucking slick. Game Pass, perfect little slam dunk from there.
Yeah, I was about to download it on Game Pass, and then I see that my Xbox app needs to be updated, and I thought, maybe I'll just play the Switch version.
There you go. So that's Botany Manor, sitting at a very positive on Steam if you are into those reviews. The other game that I want to talk to you about is not nearly as cozy, but way cooler, and that game is called Children of the Sun. This game came out also on the 9th, and this one is only on PC, I believe, right now. I might be wrong on that, but I think it's PC only. There is a demo that you can check out.
I mean, I'm sure they'll find a way, but the precision that you need in that game, I feel like you need a mouse for that.
Yes, agreed. It'll set you back $15, which I think is a perfect price for this video game. This is not, you know, if I'm going to be reductive, it is Super Hot meets Sniper Elite with a little Hotline Miami in it.
Mm-hmm. Some footage of it earlier. I've heard it's the feel bad game of the year.
It is a feel-bad game. So I will just say, buyer beware, there is some very heavy subject matter in this game involving death, cults, like real shitbag type stuff. So just, I think they've done a really cool, like, it's very graphic. Like, it's my shit. I'm a weirdo with that stuff. Like, it's a grimy game. It's got a fucking feel to it. It stinks. This game stinks. You know it stinks if you smelt it. It's got a stink to it. But in a nutshell, you have a revenge story where you are a sniper that can walk around the perimeter of a level, and you have one bullet to kill a ton of people. So it's really kind of a puzzle on how you're going to do this. And so anytime you shoot and you connect on a target, the bullet will pause there, and then you can redirect it to another area. You can scout around the perimeter and tag where you want to go. And so you can be like, okay, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, et cetera. If you find somebody as you're moving the bullet around that you didn't tag and you end up restarting that level, because there's a lot of restart on this, they'll be tagged, which is really handy when you go into it. So that's a nice feature that they brought into it. Chase, you and I played a demo of it on a casual Monday. They did not allude to this, but there are some supernatural-esque abilities that you get to even do more with the bullet. Okay. And playing on the mouse, you aim in with the left mouse button, and then that's when you can shoot. And once you shoot, the bullet just goes. Well, the next thing you unlock is you hold down the right mouse button and it slows the bullet and allows you to kind of bend it and curve a little bit on where it goes. So the level they have you do this in is there's a wall that you just can't see around in the perimeter. So you shoot, slow it down, and then find your target and go from there. The other thing they didn't talk about is there's environmental aspects to this. You can shoot a fucking bird and just get a bird's eye viewpoint for your next shot from your bullet. Yes.
Oh. That's really cool.
Yes.
I mean, it's awesome. You know, I don't necessarily need a Randy Johnson a bird, but the mechanical aspect of it is a great idea.
Well, that's, if birds aren't your thing, you can also shoot fish and then be underwater and then come up out of the water.
Fish.
Yeah,
there's, fuck fish. There's a billion fish.
The other thing that'll happen as you are like upgrading
plenty of fish in the sea, as they say. That's what that phrase means, yes. Right?
You know, I like to do kill two birds and one fish. Every time I shoot a sniper rifle,
it's like shooting birds in a barrel.
Oh my god, I love it. The other thing is
one fish, two bird, blue bird.
That
fish
sounds like bird. A video I wasn't allowed to watch growing up.
By the way, one person on this podcast can't do this because their internet sucks. But I was able to download this game while doing this episode with zero drop frames. So
yeah, it's.
Good thing, Chase.
It definitely.
Thanks, Spectrum. Yeah. Don't think Spectrum.
Thank them.
Has Spectrum. I'm on the good internet.
One of the other things you'll start to come across is they introduce like armor on enemies that you can't hit unless you get this other upgrade, which is if you hit critical parts like you would in the Sniper Elite, you fill up a bar that then allows you to increase the speed and basically break through armor, which is awesome. So you're getting like bending mechanics and you're getting all this other shit. It's a relatively short game from what I'm reading, 4 to 5 hours. So Devolver just put out two games within 2 weeks of one another that are both fucking bangers. You had Pepper Grinder, which is also like a 4-hour game. You've got...
Oh, I do need to get to Pepper Grinder.
Yeah, man. Both of those have such a good feel to them. Back-to-back hits here from Devolver, but this one's really fucking cool. Children of the Sun. I think I'm doing a good job telling you what this is. You should just definitely check it out. I'm going to record a quick look. Hopefully one of you two will tune in for that one because this game rules.
I would love to.
We should definitely check that one out for sure. And speaking of quick looks, I'm only briefly going to talk about this one because I would rather you as a listener go check out our quick looks. If you are a podcast subscriber, we've seen a lot more of you lately, which is awesome. But if you're finding our podcast and not our other stuff, we record short form content. And some of these games we're talking about, you can usually go to our YouTube page and check out just commentary over the gameplay. So the next one that is going up at the time of this recording on Thursday the 11th is a little game called Planet Isles or Planet Tiles. I don't know how we're going to call that one.
I would say Planet Tiles. Yeah.
Planet Tiles. This is a really neat game. This one came out of nowhere. It's from Mythic Owl. It'll set you back $9.99. It's on PC only right now and currently on sale. This is, so you are upgrading biomes that are in the shape of Tetris pieces. And as you're doing that, it's kind of like Loop Hero in a way meets Dwarf Romantic. So hang tight. That's a really weird thing to combine.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a chill approach to how the land systems and the unlocks in Loop Hero would work. So if you did like three mountains, you got a big mountain in Loop Hero. And the same thing's here. If you do a 3x3 grid of placement, that becomes an upgrade piece that then gives you power-up abilities. And there's main objectives to fill all the gaps on this planet with your pieces there. There's some really cool passive ongoing perks for it. I think it's got a really good feel to it. It's got a hell of a style. You should check it out on our quick look. I think it's a really special game for just a good unwinding puzzle game for sure. So yeah, a lot of fun stuff. Yep. We talked about Turbo Golf Racing, Unicorn Overlord.
How did you find out about this game?
I am constantly looking in genres and things of that nature on Steam. Mm-hmm. And I found it there.
Cool.
Yeah.
I was looking at their previous games that they put out.
Yeah. This one's really neat. You should, it's in my library, John, if you want to check it out. And I think it will be something you could play on a Steam Deck, I would imagine. It is a mouse input, but I think that it does have controller support also. I think it's only on PC. I could be wrong. It can be on other shit. But anyway, we talked about Turbo Golf Racing. We talked about Unicorn Overlord, Botany Manor, Children of the Sun, and Planet Isles. So those are some fun things that you can check out from us. Two quick looks from those and some more to be recorded probably with Botany Manor and Children of the Sun up next. Cool. We've got some fun stuff to talk about, Johnny. Why don't you kick us over through the news here?
This isn't a fun story. This is a sad story.
Okay, go ahead and I don't want to say what you're going to say. Then I have another follow up on this one.
I was just going to say, like, I fell in love with Dead Space last year because of that remake. And apparently there was potentially going to be a remake of part two. And it was definitely being planned. It had a code name. And they aren't making it now. And the team that worked on that is now they're going to work on an Iron Man game. And the leads are now working on Battlefield.
I feel like that might be a blessing in disguise. It felt what happened with the original trilogy. People love that first one. I think people like that second one.
They really hated the third one.
So, you know, if you're going to remake one and just do a good job with it, that's probably the one to do.
Also, I own Dead Space 2. I could just play that.
Sure.
What I was going to tell you, Johnny, is when that story broke earlier, it looked like Jason Schreier 3 hours ago came out with some updates on it. That it was either like going to be a whole new Dead Space or a remake of two. That's kind of there's some weird wording that this been. I don't know what to believe here. There's conflicting reports.
EA themselves came out and commented on it.
Correct. But then another one said a rumor today suggested that EA shelved a Dead Space 2 remake. Then another one says that it was denied. Like I've seen back and forth shit with this. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I was gonna. To mention that because it was back and forth between Grubb and Schreier. But at any rate, there's not a Dead Space 2 remake.
Highlander cut one of their heads off.
It's basically just the end of Metal Gear Solid 4 on top of the submarine, except one is Grubb and the other is Jason Schreier.
Just duking it out.
God.
Grubb is obviously God, what sub? His name? Ocelot. Ocelot is.
Oh yeah, he has big ocelot energy.
Like a submarine.
Yes, Metal Gear Solid 4 is ridiculous.
It sounds like it.
There's just not a whole lot of game there, but
yeah,
it's a whole lot of story.
You could, and you can only play it on the PS3 still.
Yeah, what a fucking ridiculous thing.
Anyway, so some Helldivers news. A few days ago, they told us that the automatons had been eradicated.
Oh, congratulations!
They were gone.
They were gone.
What are you on the fuck? You can not fight a robot. We kicked their asses out.
Sounds good.
Well so they put up a no mission problem. Accomplished.
I wish we could do that in the real world.
Yeah. Right.
Yep.
Anyway.
So everything's great.
Everything was good.
Hey, you know, it's nice to have a good news story. You know, just a little lighthearted. Hey, we won. Everybody celebrate. Nothing bad happened. So great. Jason, what's the next news story?
I hate to break this to you, but
what?
God damn it.
Somehow, did we kill too many robots? Is that the problem?
Somehow the automatons returned.
What?
They fly now.
A massive invasion force.
How could this have happened? Who could have foreseen this?
Nobody.
They built more robots?
They did.
You know what?
Somewhere. Fuck.
I'm glad they did because Daddy's got a brand new toy and Daddy's been using it. Johnny watched when we played on Casual Friday this last time, we had multiple dropships come in and three in a row. I got a fucking hat trick. I shot three of them out of the sky.
That's great.
It was awesome. I hate them, and I slaughter them like the animals that they are.
Those lousy Bolsheviks.
Stop trying to make fetch happen, John.
I know. Chase.
Yeah.
What's going on with Destiny?
I don't know.
Saw a rumor here. There's a report that Bungie is likely developing Destiny 3, codename Payback. Have
you been following? You know more than I do. I'm living clean.
You're not even keeping up with Destiny. You follow people online that play Destiny.
I watch.
People
I watch
are losing their mind over Destiny again today.
I watch Say Wallabra play like a multiplayer match of Halo every once in a while, and that's about it. I'm not even watching most of my Destiny streamers anymore. Well, living clean.
Well, the big takeaway from this was that they're going to do away with classes and basically allow you to spec a character however you want.
So that's not entirely true.
Okay.
It's like a...
I know none of that.
There's a new subclass that lets you... It's got elements from each one of the other. It's basically a dark
and
a light.
Is that Destiny 3 or is that the next expansion?
It's the next one. There's a new subclass.
Yeah.
The next expansion is a new subclass, but is what Johnny's saying like the next Destiny?
Yes.
This is like the thing after that.
This is one of the things from...
Luke Smith got on and said...
That guy doesn't touch Destiny anymore.
He said that this was the final shape was going to conclude their 10-year arc for Destiny that they committed to. And then he kind of did the literal wink to the camera and he's like, so we'll wrap up Destiny 2 and tell you what's next beyond that. Okay. And so that's how he like winked and nudged the camera with this.
Yeah.
Okay. But how is that pertaining to what I was talking about?
That's Destiny 3. Do you not understand what I just said?
Well, yeah. No. Johnny is saying that in Destiny 3, unlike in Destiny 2, the final shape where they're bringing in another subclass, Johnny is saying that in Destiny 3, the rumor is that there are no classes.
Yeah, they're scrapping all the classes and the subclasses. Instead, any character will be able to spec into any ability, enabling a freeform mix and match. It's currently a happy daydream.
Well, the new subclass is kind of that already. That's coming out in the final shape.
Well, subclasses, though, you're still a Titan, you're a Warlock, or you're a Hunter. What Johnny's saying that in Destiny 3, there are no Titans, Warlocks, or Hunters. You are just Guardians that can spec into a whole lot of different things.
That sounds all right. This is basically all the different subclasses.
Like the direction you would go.
Yeah.
Although it is weird from like a lore perspective that Destiny is built decades now.
The Traveler rolled around in his sleep and suddenly everyone can use each other's powers.
Yeah. Or I'm sure there's ways to say like, oh, I'm a Titan, but I use like Hunter abilities or whatever. I don't know. All I know is that they just recently brought back
they're just trying some of the best weapons, and I still don't care. Just trying to be more woke nonsense into our video games.
God.
If you're born a Titan, you're a Titan.
Is that why you put the story on here? You sit on that joke? Is that what you're doing here?
It's kind of nice to not.
I can't believe I knew more about that than you did.
It's not that I don't care about Destiny stuff. It's just I don't need it. I don't need it right now.
Nobody does.
Maybe someday I'll get back to needing it, but right now I'm feeling good. I've got unicorns.
Yeah. That's true.
Like, not literal unicorns. There's just the overlord of unicorns. It's great.
Man. Yeah.
What else is going on?
This Triple I initiative recap.
Bobby. Yeah. That was like an hour or like a 45-minute presentation.
I didn't watch any of it.
Wow.
Walk me through it.
Yeah, shocking. So this was a
it was buffering too much for him. His internet
fair.
It's my upload speed, Chase. My download speeds are fine.
So basically a lot of developers in the indie scene came together and they kind of did this tongue-in-cheek.
And also Gearbox.
And then Gearbox, of course. they came in with this tongue-in-cheek, like,
I was going to say Gearbox is independent now, but no. They're owned by Take-Two now.
Yeah, Take-Two bought them. Yeah. To highlight the indie games that are quote-unquote Triple I, again, tongue-in-cheek. But there was some high-caliber stuff shown off today. There was a few things I had heard rumors of. I didn't think they would be here, but they were debuting. So they showed about an hour's Chase Called Out worth of trailers of upcoming things. Basically nothing beyond 2025. Lots of stuff that'll be coming to early access. A few updates to some known quantities. But I think all in all, this is a really cool presentation. We're getting some really neat, like, there's a lot of space out there for like the whole wholesome community now. You got Keighley doing basically everything that E3 was, but at the same time, there's been this renaissance with like indie games and just things like the Switch making even older indie games become more relevant again in PC gaming and PC gaming handhelds that are not as powerful as some of these consoles that we see at home. So it makes sense for, I think, the appreciation of indie games to be flourishing. Some really cool inventive stuff happening.
I mean, yes, there's definitely some inventive stuff. There were some things that were on here that I thought, whoa, that's really cool. Mm-hmm. There are also a lot of Vampire Survivors-like games. There are also a lot of, hey, we basically just made Hades, but in a different kind of thing. And there's certainly a lot of, hey, we made another game where you build a bunch of stuff on a planet. We made a bunch of Bobby games on there, too.
The other piece of it, too, though, is like, I don't disagree with you, first of all, but I think that you've been seeing...
It's similar to like the wholesome thing where it's like, oh, everything's a farming or a fishing
game. Yeah, I mean, it feels chasing like Stardew Valley in Minecraft.
Yeah, it's like there's a bit of a rut going on with a lot of these, but that's not to say there aren't...
It was really Metroidvanias a few years ago, you know, like it's all...
Yeah, it's just kind of exception that proves the rule stuff on some mm-hmm. of this. But there were some awesome looking games. Do we want to talk about any specific ones?
Yeah, I think that the one that I'd like to kick off with is what they kicked off with is the Rogue Prince of Persia. I'd heard that this was coming from...
They kicked off with that? I thought that was the last thing they showed.
I just have it here on as my first one. So
okay. I think in the presentation it was the final thing they showed.
This is from the same team behind Dead Cells, which... we got a really strong departure for Prince of Persia just a few months ago, if you can remember that far back. Yeah. And to see another Prince of Persia that is kind of a departure from what we've known for the last several generations of it. This one is like, hey, we really like what you're doing over there, but we're going to do a highly stylized, tight mechanic. I mean, if you played Dead Cells, you know that it had great game feel. And based off this trailer... The style of the game, at least, looks really fucking rad. I love what they're going for.
The people who made it might have made Dead Cells.
Dead Cells is pretty pixelated.
Artistically, they feel very different. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, I'm saying watching the character movements.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah. And everything. For sure.
They've got like a hand-drawn style.
I do not mean that as a slight, because I love Dead Cells.
Yeah, yeah.
I just think it's interesting that we get this close. I mean, this is coming out in early access in May.
It's funny to me that when seeing what was the last one? Lost Crown or
The Lost Crown, yeah.
Yeah. When we saw that, they're like, oh, that's kind of interesting. They're kind of going back to Prince of Persia's roots as a like a 2D platformer game.
Yeah.
And then I see this one and I go, this feels even more like they're going back to the roots than the
I don't
last
think this
one
is a Metroidvania either. Yeah. I think this is the 2D scroller, which
yeah.
It looks neat. I love the style. I think this will be a hit. I will be picking this up in May, May 14th.
Lots of cool movement stuff. Like so you're going, 100%. It's less about like teleports and stuff like the last one was, again, only a couple months ago. And this one's more about parkour and sliding. And it's weird that they put these so close because they kind of feel similar.
Oh,
even if they definitely are different.
It's not exactly this, but when you're watching the actual gameplay, I can't think of the artist's name, but he did the Clone Wars animated show.
Tartakovsky.
Yes, it's got that style, I think, in movement. Like it looks mm-hmm. very similar to that for sure.
It reminded me. I've never read this this comic, but the Saga stuff. Mm-hmm. It definitely has that kind of like hand drawn. Clean lines, animation stuff. Looks nice.
Yeah, it looks cool. Yeah. What about you two? Anything that stood out to you? I mean, there's other ones I like, but I'm sure we'll talk
Slay
about
Aspire
them.
Aspire 2.
Of course.
I heard about.
Yeah.
And I got really excited when I heard that. So
that's what they kicked off the show with. It's only like a 30-second trailer. It's a teaser. Like they don't show any gameplay. They just kind of show the characters that you know. They show some enemy guys, and they just kind of put Slay the Spire 2, which that's all they have to do. But that's going to be interesting to me because it's so hard for these kinds of games to make sequels, and we've seen some make sequels in the past that have, you know, not really done a whole lot. I'm thinking of something like Rogue Legacy 2 that felt very much like the first game, and we've seen some of these that try to go a completely different direction, something like Risk of Rain, where it's okay, hey, the first game is not invalid because the second game is so different from that. And I'll be interested to see where Slay the Spire goes, because it's...
Oh, I mean, so much has changed since that game. Like,
right.
They defined, and like, again, what we talked about earlier, that game was mimicked throughout a ton of indie games coming up. Like, they were definitely trying to get to that. And no
shade to Slay the Spire, but I think a lot of those games that came out after were better. We
agree.
We've talked about it where, you know, Slay the Spire, hey, yeah, that's a pretty cool game, but then... We're all on the monster train.
Oh, we're on the monster train, you know, for sure.
We're playing a lot of these other kinds of games, like a Fights in Tight Spaces, you could say, also in a similar vein. And I still love Slay the Spire, but do those people have the juice to?
We've never streamed that game.
No, I know. Yeah, we should someday just to show it off. But yeah, I'll be really interested to see if they can react to everything that has happened since Slay the Spire and come back with something that is just as game changing as the first game, or if they do something that is totally off the beaten path in the same kind of way that Risk of Rain 2 was like, well, we're just not going to make anything like the first game and see how this works. That'd be cool.
I agree. Chase, what about you? Anything like what's a game that you liked?
Yeah, I'd say Mouse. Mouse is probably the one that made me go, oh, that's a cool different thing. It's basically Steamboat Willie slash, you know, for a video game thing, Cuphead. But we made it into a first person shooter. Yep. It looks rad. It's all in black and white.
It's got the style.
You have like cartoonish looking Tommy guns, and you know, you when you have fists, you have like big Popeye forearms, and it just seems cool.
It seems very cool.
There's a couple of these kinds of, I mean, nothing looks like Mouse does, but what was that other game we played the demo of?
Like the Dick Tracy one, first person, where it's like Doom. It was something Aces, not Smoking Aces. That's a movie.
Yeah, yeah. It was Broken Aces or something.
Broken Aces, something
like that. Right. There are a couple of these kinds of games out there, but I really like we made a first person shooter, but in a crazy style. You know, the Warhammer one too was Bolt Gun.
Yeah.
Like similar of Overkill, like we made a first person shooter, but also it looks crazy rad.
Yep.
I think that's awesome. And going into this art style of like, hey, we kind of took that 50s-y cartoon style and made a first person shooter out of it. That looks sick to me. I want to try that. Yep.
I'm not going to talk about it. I want Johnny to go and watch a trailer for Dino Lords.
I also wanted to mention Dino Lords, and I will try not spoiling it either, so Johnny can just watch it. But my question, why? I feel like I've asked this many times. Why don't people just put more fucking dinosaurs in their video games?
Yeah,
like, it seems like a no fucking brainer.
I agree.
We begged for Far Cry 3. It's like, you should put dinosaurs in this game. And they're like, well, Blood Dragon, we kind of do. And I was like, that's not the same. That's not exactly it. Those are like Komodo dragons. Yep. I want fucking T-Rexes in this shit. Why is Turok the only one who's decided that we can put fucking dinosaurs in a video?
Turok had balls.
So seeing this, I don't think Dino Lords is going to be the thing that sets my world on fire, but they put fucking dinosaurs in the game. And I'm like, yes, they made more of that.
They made a dinosaur siege game.
Yes.
Yes, but you are medieval against dinosaurs.
Give me Age of Empires, but with dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Fuck dragons. Give me actual fucking dinosaurs.
So Johnny will be playing that one. We all know.
Looks very dumb.
Yes. I know we've talked about it, but I'm so hyped-er for Hyper Light Breaker. I think that game looks great. I'm happy that we got a little bit more information on it, that it'll be coming out 2024 early access. You can play with up to four people on this. They didn't really talk about that on the recap that I saw, but four players, which sounds great.
I thought this trailer specifically left me a little less interested than previous trailers I've seen. I think I might be mixing it up a little bit more with Solar Ash, and mm-hmm. Solar Ash just had amazing movement, and I think I also thought that Hyper Light Breaker had amazing movement, and I think it does, but this trailer just didn't really show it off very much.
I mean, it's going to be I think this is going to be not quite a Souls-like, but I think there's going to be some of that in here for sure.
Yeah, it definitely looks like a game about challenge.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like Hyper Light Drifter had, that wasn't super easy either, I don't think, personally speaking, but
there were definitely parts that were upping the difficulty.
Yeah. It looks cool, though. That's, again, this summer, early access. That looks really good.
The last one that I need to make sure we talk about is Rakugaki. I thought that looked really cool. That was, again, just a teaser. We didn't see any gameplay for that one.
Isn't it just going by RKGK?
Yeah. It's like, okay. It says Rakugaki, but then it has RKGK as like the bigger title. This one, the developer described it as like, hey, we took inspiration from anime, graffiti, and I forgot the other one.
Skateboarding, maybe?
Yeah, something like that. But it's like we took these inspirations, we just kind of threw them all into a game. And it starts this teaser is just like this woman who is tagging this building, but it's a cyberpunk 3D graffiti tag, and then you have these like these robot sentries that find her, and then she does some like really cool using the spray paint cans as booster jets to fly around and throwing them like grenades and painting the cameras to knock them out. And again, no gameplay, so I'm really interested to see what this game actually looks like and what genre it is and things like that.
It reminds me of a Gravity Rush, I bet.
Yeah, totally. And I just think this game has so much promise from what I'm seeing here. I really like the inventiveness of the world it's playing in. Of yes, it's cyberpunk, but you know, we're going to it doesn't feel like it's just, hey, we made Jet Set Radio Future. It feels like we really tried to do something different with the way graffiti works, and I can see that being really, cool. Really, really rad. Again, just a teaser. This could turn into something that I go, oh, that's kind of lame. But what they've shown so far has me more interested than most of the other games that they showed.
That's summer on Steam. Yeah.
That was also weird to me because they're like, hey, I feel like we saw much more of some games that are coming out later. So for this one to not really show us much of anything and also say, oh, yeah, by the way, it's summer. I was like, that's soon to not show me really anything about what this is. Yeah. That's really soon.
Agreed. Johnny, what about you? Any other last things?
Just the Vampire Survivor stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bobby, what do you think of Lasara Summit Kingdom?
I thought that one looked pretty cool. I thought it had a good look to it from my vantage point on this one.
Yeah, I mean, it's like another city builder kind of thing, but it's a city builder that
kinda
is
like Lego-y a little bit.
A little bit, but like the whole idea is that you're building on a mountain, and it's like the I'm probably gonna get the thing the Nepalese. Is that kind of what we're going with? Yeah. That kind of culture-y stuff. And I think that's really cool of having like building on these mountains and finding ways to like connect them with the rope bridges and things like that. I could see that being a fun challenge of a city builder rather than like a Sim City where it's like, okay, you just have this flat city block, build something on it. I like the idea of having to build something within the environment.
You're really building. The cool thing about this is you're building kingdoms. So it's not, it's almost like, what if we gave you a survival craft game, but Civ, because you're building out these kingdoms that then will like be trade networks and other strategies. So it goes not only on just like building into the landscape you have, you're building out how sustainability would happen with it. From what, there were some developer reviews I read on this one, not reviews, but commentary or comments on it. It looks really fucking slick. I like the look of it. And I like the idea of you are kind of competing against yourself, and you have to be thinking ahead. Like, I'm going to build this here, but it needs to be able to expand out in order for me to network appropriately. So your placement only, it's not only like, oh, I got the highest fucking summit, this is going to be beautiful. It's right. Like, well, how the fuck are they going to communicate with this kingdom down here? So that's a neat little like headcanon thing to be thinking about when
doing something. It's the like same this. Kind of interest of when I play something, you know, we're going to mention again here, like Dwarf Romantic, where mm-hmm. like the whole idea is that you're building out as much stuff as you can, but putting yep. down the tiles, you need to lay it down so you know, okay, I put it in a way that I can put this other tile next to it, and I can put this other tile next to it. And sometimes you can lock tiles away where you can't fit them anywhere. And yep. and this feels like a similar kind of design challenge, but in a very different style 100%. Of a game. And as somebody who does not care about city builders for the most part, I thought this one had something that made me excited.
Cultured.
I would not be shocked at all if some of these games that have like summer 2024 don't end up in Keeley's back pocket in one way, shape, or form either.
Yeah.
But this is cool. I like it. I think that indie games are getting bigger. They're getting way more competent. There's a whole discussion on, you know, what is an indie game at the Game Awards, speaking of Keeley, when they put Dave the Diver in there.
Sure.
So I think this is Triple I is tongue in cheek, but it does make sense. Like, I think we have now seen the indie movement make way for different tiers and qualities of indie games. Like, we're definitely seeing that. These are not built the same. Some are real scrappy that you see on Itch and you have like a lot of fun community stuff with, and then you have Dave the Diver going all the way back up to that one here. So this is a cool thing. I really dug it. I think more games are always good. I'm all for it on my stance. Any other things on here that we want to chat about before we wrap it up?
We did mention Risk of Rain 2 in comparison to another game, but they also showed off a new update for Risk of Rain 2 that adds a new area, that adds some new artifacts. One that looked like a mimic style enemy, like a chest that will fuck you up.
I can get on board with that.
And then they also added in the prisoner from Dead Cells as an alternate skin. I was disappointed that it wasn't just a its own character. And I also don't know if alternate skin means you can switch any character to have that skin, or if it's just an alternate skin for a specific character. But yeah, hey, more Risk of Rain stuff sounds great. In fact, some of the stuff they showed that apparently like wasn't new, or like some of the levels, like I've never played on that level. Have they done updates of Risk of Rain 2 that I am not privy to at some point? They've thrown even more into that game, or maybe there's just other parts that I didn't discover. Maybe I need to go back and play more Risk of Rain 2. That's a thought.
I think you should.
Yeah.
It's a good ass game. Well, we've had a lot of fun telling you about Triple I and a bunch of other cool games that we're playing right now. This week has been a little different. We had a solo stream with me on Monday night. Chase had other stuff going on, so I took you all farming with Lightyear Frontier. That was a blast. You can follow along on YouTube for that VOD or right here on Twitch for the time being. Chase took me on an adventure with Mario vs. Donkey Kong. That quick look went up on Tuesday. Consensus online: play the original.
I mean, I think this one's fine as well, but
agreed. You know. The viewers have spoken much on our quick look is what I'm getting at. The yes. comments on the quick look are saying play the original, so we're being told now how the quick look should go. Episode 370 was tonight. We told you about all those fun things. Tomorrow, we mentioned it earlier, Planet Isles is going to be going up on our Thursday quick look. And on Friday, of course, we have Hell to Deliver alongside Democracy with Helldivers 2. And that's what's happening with the Casual Hour. Chase, we'll bump it over to you. What's going on with you?
Yeah, usually new episodes from Chase K Plays come out on Wednesdays, but I was relatively busy earlier today, so I put out a new episode of Chase versus Donkey Kong yesterday on Tuesday to coincide with the quick look. That was it. That was the only reason that happened. That's certainly not me being too busy. But yeah, that's me playing through Mario versus Donkey Kong. This is the Switch version, not the original. But that game continues to be just really well done level design that's fun to play through, and that's been a lot of fun. Awesome. I also have another podcast I do called Pilot Program that I do with our good friend of the show, Piers Corshane. We watch the first episode of every television show ever made. Our last episode was on the new FX television show called Shogun, which was pretty sweet. And then the new episode that we are working on, I think we're going to record sometime next week, is going to be on the Vice version of Desus and Mero, which that'll be interesting. That's a much more timely what was life like in this slice of time. So I think going back to something like that and just seeing what they cover is going to be, it's going to be interesting. So
cool.
Definitely check that out. shows.acast.com/pilotprogram.
And Johnny, can you put your link tree in the chat? I got to get that set up. So I'm sorry, it's not done. Mm-hmm. And then tell the fine folks listening what you do.
I do a lot of writing over at Hard Drive. I just had an interview with Dan Reichert from Giant Bomb go up today.
And I've heard of him.
Yeah, I'll have one from Jeff Grubb soon, hopefully next week. I just need to get that edited. And talking to Mr. Danny O'Dwyer next week. And that will probably hopefully go up by the end of the month.
All the Giant Bomb and Giant Bomb adjacent people.
That's right, collecting them like Infinity Stones.
It's very cool. All right, y'all, we'll be back on Friday with Helldivers. Take care.